Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi everyone, you are warmly welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly taking you through seven ITV races on Saturday, including a really fantastic card at Cheltenham. We are looking forward to that. We've got three meetings on Sunday where the boys have been sussing away to bring you a decent bet there. And obviously we'll have the naps at the end of the show where the boys give us their best bet of the day. We will start though with the card at Cheltenham. It's trials day, the last chance for a lot of horses to advance the Cheltenham Festival claims. And we'll take the first of the four ITV races. It's the 150. It's the Spectra Cyber Security Solutions Trophy, a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Niall, how did Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, so we're an extra place in this race. We're paying four places for 11 runners, so a good offer. Janica is our 4-1 favourite, followed by Sir Dulac at 4-1, Kingsworth 6-1, Ballyhill 7-1, Breeland Das 15-2, Activial 9-1, and 10-1 bar.
And Niall, we'll stick with you for a tip. What do you like here?
Yeah, I find this tricky, but the one I've come down on is the King's Writ for Cayley Willicote. He's been really progressive of late, and he strikes me as one that will just keep on improving. He bolted up last time in a decent race at Exeter, winning by 5 lengths. And prior to that, he had the race at his mercy when still on the bridle at Chepstow. So he comes here banging form. From that last Exeter race, second, third, sixth and seventh have all run pretty well. Three of them in the feet, I think 1-1. The Kingsworth's gone up £7 for that, but he'd still look fairly treated. And he's got a low weight here too. He'll be ridden prominently, which tends to be a positive in these type of races at Cheltenham. Off the opposition, Janica is an obvious one, but I think he probably wants softer ground. While I like Sir Dulac, I was just slightly put off when I watched his run back as a juvenile a few years ago here. Just didn't think he really took to the track. So yeah, it's King's Writ for me.
Okay. Keels, are you confident going into the weekend?
Yeah, reasonably so. Yeah, there's quite a few horses that I like. Yeah, this is a good race. My issue with the King's Writ, I should have tipped it last time and didn't, and it rather annoyed me because he drifted to a very backable price. But he's never actually run on good ground at all now.
Are we expecting good?
It's good ground. It's going to rain a bit, but I mean, it's on the goodish side of good soft. I'd imagine at the most they haven't had that much, and I think he definitely wants soft ground. Trainer says he does. She's not that concerned about it, but. I'd have an issue. I'd have an issue with Janica for the same reasons as well, because all his form is on soft ground. It was a good run when second to the Hell's Kitchen, who's a bit of a nutter, but when put together, he's a very good horse. And I came down to the top weight, Activial. He's a 9-year-old now, and he never really sort of did what you expected, because I remember the day he absolutely bolted up in the Dovecot as a 4-year-old, in the Adonis Hurdle as a 4-year-old at Kempton. Thought, Jesus, this is a really good horse, and never really done it, and he's on his third training now, Tom George, but he's actually run two career bests on the spin over fences, winning, and then last time was second to Kildesart. Now, I really like Kildesart. I think he's a very promising novice, and he was giving him £10, and he was only just touched off by him. I think that's a really, really solid piece of form. Activial was beaten half a length in a Cold Cup 3 years ago, I think. So he handles the track, he handles the ground. I just think he's got a big chance off top weight.
How are you feeling now? You've used a bit of a steady, a difficult day so far for you, because dry January ended spectacularly yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, yeah. I got absolutely battered last night. I ended up getting the wrong train, wandering around the streets trying to find a taxi because my phone had run out. So I feel like shit, but you know, I've done the study in advance.
We're off and running. How about you, G-Rod? Are you feeling nice and perky?
Yeah, I'm feeling much better than Keeley. Yeah, he always used to tell me that Thursday was a rubbish night to go drinking, Rodders.
Yeah, well, he made it a rubbish day and a rubbish night. It was a long old sesh, wasn't it, Keeley?
It was a big one.
Yeah. Okay, then, Graham. So how are you feeling going into the weekend? Do you think you're going to be tipping back in plenty of winners?
Not really. No, I'm not that confident.
Oh, great. Marvellous. Actually, that is one of the first rules of the postcast, isn't it? If you're not confident, they run well.
Didn't you declare earlier that you've got one?
I've got one. Yeah. But that's about it.
Right, who wins the 150 at Cheltenham?
No, the 150, I fancy Old Grangewood. He's a long-standing member of the G-Rod Tracker. And I was waiting for him to go up to 3 miles for ages. And I backed him quite heavily at Aintree last time, on his final start last season. And he travelled beautifully. He went through the race lovely, and I thought he was going to win. And he definitely didn't stay. You know, he was paddling up between that long run between the second last and the last. He still finished fourth, ran really well. And he's back down in trip here at Cheltenham. I think that will suit him. He likes good ground. He jumps quite well. We don't know if he'll handle the track, but I'll take it on chance. He's double figure price, so I'm willing to give him a chance at that price.
Splendid. Let's look at the 2.25 now. It's the Betbright Trial Cotswold Chase. 3 miles, 1.5. Often some Gold Cup clues. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Yeah, so just our money back special race. It's money back all losers if Frodon wins the race. And he's our 2-1 favourite, followed by Elegant Escape at 9-4. Terraford is 7-2. Baltor 11-2. Manila Rocco is 10. And Alison Monteric is 40-1.
Okay, Kills, what's the winner?
Yeah, this has got upset win all over it, isn't it? I mean, Frodon has only run 3 times over 3 miles in his life. He was already beaten out of sight when falling in the Corto Star Novices Chase that Mike Bite should have won. Even with that carnage, he was well beaten anyway. He's run twice, been second at 3 mile twice since, took 2 Mike Bite at Sandown, got beat 8 lengths, and then in a handicap at Ascot where he led over the last and just was paddling. I don't see him staying the trip. Elegant Escape to me is not fast enough for 3 mile on quickish ground. Valtor's form, well, I just don't like that race at Ascot at all.
You're tipping Manila Rocco, aren't
you? And Terrafort, I don't know, you know, after what he did as an odds-on shot at Sandown in November, how can you back him? So, yeah, Manila Rocco likes the track, has been placed in the Gold Cup.
He's only nine.
He's only nine. He's actually relatively lightly raced. Clumsy bugger. Might not be good enough anymore, but he's the one I'm going to end up backing.
Okay, fair enough. G-Rod?
Yeah, no, I think Frodon stays, but I think he's more effective over a shorter trip when he can really blast him from the front. And I'm not sure that you can do that here with him, you know, because... well, because...
You're laughing, that's not anything remotely funny, yeah?
No, I just had something funny going through my head. I was going to say
that... What was it?
Well, having said that he's going to stay, I was then going to say, I don't think he can do that in this race because I don't think he'll stay.
Right, you know what I mean? Okay.
Like, I think he'll I think he stays 3 miles,
yeah.
But I think he needs to be ridden really, really aggressively, and if you ride him like that around a track like Cheltenham, he won't stay. Does that make sense?
Nope.
No, okay, right. Elegant Escape is slow. I can't have him. And yeah, the other two. I mean, that race that Valtor ran last time, terrible race. You know, Jamming Masters was beaten in a novice chase next time. The third was Benatar. That don't stay the trip. Terrafour ran terribly last time. So for the same reasons, you have to back Manila Rocco.
Okay.
At the prices. I mean, he's the best horse in the race on the form. He gets all the weight. He loves good ground. He likes the track. Who knows if he's going to turn up in top form, but if he does, there's no way he's an 8 or 10 to 1 chance.
If Bryony does blast off on Frodon, as we expect, at which fence will he relinquish the lead, do you think?
Well, I think the way she's going to ride it, she has to kick on down the hill, didn't she?
Yeah.
You know, that's the way to try and beat these stayers. She kicks on down the hill and she tries to catch him flat-footed, but then will she get back up it? Probably not.
He could easily be in front jumping the last, but I don't see him staying.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Niall, what's your view of it? Hopefully it's more coherent than... G-Rods.
I'm going to echo exactly what the lads were talking about.
I think
you have to take Frodon on at the price of the trip. As Keel said on his previous try over 3 miles at Ascot, he was beaten by Gold President of America of 151 prior to winning a handicap by 17 lengths. So I'm going to put it down to the trip that day that got him beaten. Elegant Escape seems to be on an upward curve, but he's not a horse I've ever taken. I don't think he's fast enough, as the lads said. I think he wants softer ground too. Terraford is another who I think wants softer ground. He's off a break, and it just left me with Manila Rocco. Now, the jockey booking slightly put me off because it normally tends to assume that he might need this run. Nothing against Richie McLaren, it's just that's what tends to happen, in my opinion. But he does have the ground in his favour, and he gets weight off most, so he doesn't have a lot to find, and he's a big enough price to take a chance on for me.
Remind me what price you are, Manila Rocco?
We're 10.
10 to 1. So, all three lads in a 6-run race go for the 10 to 1 shot. Manila Rocco. Interesting stuff. We move on to the 3 o'clock at Cheltenham. It's the Ballymore Novices Hurdle. And Niall, take it away with a show of betting.
Yeah, so Birchdale is our 15 to 8 favourite. Jarvie's Plate is 2 to 1. Ruin Up a Storm is 9 to 4. Buster Valentine is 14. Not That Foosie is 16 to 1. And The Wolf is 50 to 1.
Graham Rodway, what's your selection?
When I looked at this race, I thought, well, you know, any pundit worth their salt has to say that the prices are wrong. You know, you have to say that there's no way Birchdale can be favourite to beat Jarvie's Plate, having seen how impressive Jarvie's Plate was. But I do just think the price is going to end up being right, because I think that Henderson loves this race. He runs good horses in this race. And he obviously had Champion it as well. I was wildly impressed with that at Newbury because I laid that horse in running because I thought it would have been far, far too free and it still bolted up. So the fact that he runs Birchdale instead suggests that this one must be pretty useful as well. It's hard to make a strong case for him on form to be a bet at that price, but I just think that he'll be better than anything else. Brewing Up a Storm's interesting for Ollie Murphy. He's got loads and loads of talent, but he pulls a bit hard and I'm not sure he really gets home over this distance. Maybe he wants a little bit shorter. I mean, if he stays and he settles, he could be a player. I think Jarvis Plate will run well, but might find one of the others too good.
Okay, for G-Rod, the prices are wrong, but they're actually right. Birchdale will win. Niall, who do you like?
Birchdale, it's probably the most taken I've been visually with a novice hurdler this year, but as favourite here, I think I have to take him on because I'm not 100% sure about the form of that race. I really believe the best novice race we've seen this season was the Challow Hurdle in terms of quality. So if I think that, then Brewing Up a Storm would look the bet here. I thought he travelled really well in that race, just getting slightly outpaced by speedier types before staying on. Finished a close fourth in a race that wasn't really run to suit. Jarvis Plate is a nice type, but I'm really struggling to believe he's as good as he looked at on his last run. And he is a penalty here. And on the balance of his form, I think he's opposable. It's Brewing Up a Storm for me.
Okay, and Kills.
Yeah, Brewing Up a Storm for me. I mean, that Birchdale race, I mean, he won it easily at Warwick. But he was incredibly green, and he's running up against a couple of horses that were a bit more battle-hardened and with better form. So I'd be inclined to take him on. Jarvis Plate did look really good, but I do like Brewing Up a Storm. I think he's probably better than he looked at Newbury. And if he does settle, I mean, I think it might be a bit of an issue because he can be keen, but if he does settle, I think he's a horse to beat.
I'm amazed by the lack of love for Jarvis. What's wrong with him?
Nothing wrong with it. It was one of those out of the blue bits of form, though, wasn't it? You know what I mean? So much better than anything else he's done. I was just a little bit, you know.
Suspicious.
Yeah, a little bit suspicious of it.
Okay. Right then, one of the most open, and there are loads and loads of open races at the 2019 Cheltenham Festival, which is a real head scratcher, is the Stayers Hurdle. We may get some clues after the 3:35 at Cheltenham, which is the Galliard Homes Cleeve Hurdle. Really competitive, intriguing puzzle, this one. Niall, how do you bet?
Yeah, it's very competitive, and we're actually paying five places here.
Whoa, which is a massive. How many runners offer are there? It's only 12.
There's 12, yeah.
Good news for me.
Yeah, it's most definitely a good offer. For the betting, Paisley Park is a 4-1 favourite. Black Op is 4-1 also. Midnight Shadow, 9-2. Opetti Swan is 13-2. Holstone, 8-1. You know what I mean, Harry, 10-1. West Approach, 11-1. And 12-1 back.
And Niall, your selection?
I really like the shape of this race from a betting perspective, as I want to take on the front two in the market, Midnight Shadow and Paisley Park. Midnight Shadow looked impressive last time, but I think that race turned into a bit of a speed test, and he massively benefited from that. This should be a much stronger test. I think he's a really doubtful stayer over 3 miles in a deeper race. Paisley Park is clearly improving, so the Ascot race completely fell apart, and the fact he ran a shocker in his only start here would definitely worry me. Holstone would look solid for places, but he's not the strongest there over the trip. And in my opinion, Black Op needs softer ground to be at his best. And he's actually been pretty poor this season too. And it's brought me down to Opetti Swan, who I think is a cracking bet, 13-2, getting weight off most of the horses I've mentioned. Now, I wasn't sure prior to his last run that he actually got 3 mile, but the way he travelled in that race and the way he finished out the race, he absolutely bolted in. The move to Skeletons has obviously perked him up. And I just think he's well up to stepping up to this company. I think he's definitely betting this race.
Okay, Opetti Swan for Niall. Who for you, Kills? Five places in a 12-runner race. That's good, isn't it?
It is good. I mean, I can agree with finding holes in Midnight Shadow and Paisley Park. There hasn't been a single British staying hurdler run to an RPO a bit of as high as 160 this season. So, I mean, it is really a weak division. And for me, Black Op could be the one that blows it apart. Obviously he's done this, he's been novice chasing. I'd have been inclined to let him carry on because he didn't look to be unnerved by it, but he made so many mistakes. He did fly the last two last time at Cheltenham, but he made so many mistakes during the race, and you just couldn't believe that he kept coming back on the bridle. And that to me just signifies that this is a very, very good horse. And if you go back to last year's Ballymore when he was second to Sam Crowe, right, I mean, he gets outpaced at the top of the hill and then he runs on. He kicked the final hurdle out of the ground. I mean, he actually took it from the roots, you know, and he knocked it flat, and it didn't stop his momentum at all, and he charged away from the rest. And whatever Samco is this season, he was a very, very good horse last season. He was only beaten by 2.5 lengths, and he made him race for the last 100 yards. And I just think Black Op, if he stays, I'm pretty sure he will stay, he's just going to be better than these.
Interesting. G-Rod, what's your view? Are you confident?
No, not really, but... yeah, like the boys, I mean, Midnight Shadow has to be a doubtful stayer. He's quite a keen goer, seems to have plenty of pace. I thought it was between the two that the boys already mentioned, really the potential improver in Black Op and Opetus Wands, who is obviously older but was more impressive, I thought, last time, and gets weight from Black Op. And I fancy Opetus Wands. I just think that Dan Skelton, this horse has always had loads of ability, and Dan Skelton appeared to get it back to its best last time. And if he can take another step forward, I think that'll be good enough to win this race. Whether he can go on and win the stayers or not is another question, but, you know, that's for another day. I hope he does the business tomorrow.
Well, it's not for another day, because I'm about to ask you, if you're having a bet now on the stayers, who would you back? Niall?
Probably old Petty Swan. I think he's 16 to 1 or so.
Okay, Kills?
I've already smashed Black Op.
Black Op? Mm. What price did you get?
16s.
And G-Rod?
I don't even know what's in it. What's running in the race? I don't know.
Presenting Percy, apparently.
Are they running...
Big bucks.
They're not running Thistle Crack, are they?
No, didn't enter him. No, I mean, he'd be 5-4 if he ran, wouldn't he?
You are aware that Cheltenham Festival's coming up.
Yeah, I'm a little bit slow. I've been in Canberra for a few weeks, you know, and I'm
Have
only
you?
Just getting back. Yeah, I'm only just getting back on the time zone, let alone the racing. Yeah, so no.
That was Canada.
It was lovely, but it weren't very cold, you know, like we went there for Christmas and we thought...
Disappointingly warm.
Yeah, disappointingly pleasant.
Well, we wanted a white Christmas, you know, and well, if there's one place you guarantee you get snow at Christmas, it's going to be Canada, surely. And, I mean, it was like being in England, it was just wet and cold and dull.
Oh, God.
But it was nice, but it was a shame.
Okay, well, anyway, get your Cheltenham head on, because it is coming up, G-Rod. Right then, that's Cheltenham done. We will look at Doncaster next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Let's look at three live ITV races from Doncaster. The 205 is the Albert Bartlett River Don Novices Hurdle, 3 miles, half a furlong, and Paddy Power bet as follows, Niall.
Yeah, so Commodore Barriers are 11-10 favourite, Trucker's Lodge is 15-8. Ballerico is 9-2 and Natadek is 10-1.
Just the four runners, Kills, which one will cross the line in front?
Trucker's Lodge should be favourite. I think he's the best horse in the race. He was second last time in a fair handicap hurdle at Chepstow on bad ground. He was giving chunks of weight to the runner-up. If you go back, look at his earlier form, when he was with Tom George, he actually thrashed one of Paul Nicholls' horses called Mont des Avoirs in a bumper at Chepstow on good ground. Mont des Avoirs is now rated 142 over hurdles, and he absolutely toyed with it that day. He's obviously had his problems, because he hasn't run that much, and he's now with Nicholls. But I think the good ground will bring out better in him. He's officially rated 142, which makes him the best in the race by £4 anyway. Racing Post Ratings agrees with that. I think he should be fab. I think he'll win.
Oh, you sound confident there. G-Rod, what's your view of this one?
I think Commodore Barry will make all. When I think of Kim Bailey horses, all I think about them is staying forever. You know, it's a bit like Colin Tizard as well. You know, whenever his horses go up in trip, they just seem to improve and improve and improve. And that's all that Commodore Barry has done since Kim Bailey stuck him over further. He's really a strong stayer. And he just goes off in front and we blast it away there. And it'll take a good one to come and chase him down. I think he'll make all.
And Niall?
Yeah, I'm finding Commodore Barry extremely hard to oppose. I didn't think he was well handicapped before his last run, but that result never really looked in doubt. He just looks a horse on the up. He's proven over caution distance, and to me, he looks the whole Trucker's Lodge, who he beat by 3 lengths, given £5 to Worcester earlier in the season. Now, even allowing for the latter's improvement, I still find it hard to see how he's going to beat him here, so I'll stick with Commodore Barry.
Righty-ho, the 240 is the OLBG.com Yorkshire Rose Mares Hurdle over 2 miles. Interesting race, this. How do you bet, Niall?
Yeah, so Lady Buttons is our 4-5 favourite. Irish Row is 7-2. Indeflatigable is 6-1. Chica Buena is 13-2. Indian Opera is 14-1. And Cold Fusion is 200-1.
OK, Graham, you're going first.
this is not an interesting race. This is a horrible little race. You know, it's just the sort of race that you look at and you think, like, the favourite, Lady Buttons, has got so much more ability than the rest of these, but it seems to be a better horse over fences, and this is back over hurdles now, although she did win nicely at Wetherby early in the season over fences, or Clout in the second or third last, can't remember which one it was, but still absolutely bolted up. I think she'll probably win, but she's odds on, and Indefatigable ran really well last time behind Posh Trish in a race at Taunton. When Posh Trish had the bossed it from the front, she stays forever. And I was amazed, really, that Indefatigable managed to stay with her up the running. I mean, she was coming right back at her at the line. I think she's better than she's shown. I think she's improving, but...
Which one's that?
Indefatigable.
Okay, no, it's actually well pronounced.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's improving. I think she's improving, but... I don't know if she's improving quickly enough to beat Lady Buttons, but I mean, is there eight runners? No.
No,
it's can't even. Well, you can back her each way, but I mean, there's only one place on offer because Lady Buttons is probably going to finish in the first two.
You could do the forecast, couldn't you?
Yeah, that's the way to play if you want to play, but I mean, yeah, it's not. It's a horrible race.
All right. Niall.
I'm finding Lady Buttons really hard to pose. I couldn't find any angle into it. Even the Weber horse, which I'm not going to try and pronounce again, does look the danger, but still has a bit to find. So yeah, it's just Lady Buttons for me.
Kills, have you got any enthusiasm for this contest?
It isn't one I'm going to be paying that much attention to. I mean, I love Lady Buttons. I mean, she's just a bit of a win machine, isn't she? But she is miles better over fences than she is over hurdles. And she's actually £4 worse off for 2.5 lengths of Irish Row on a run over hurdles earlier this season. If Irish Row bounces back to her best form, she's got the shot of beating her. Definitely on her best form. Her best form comes at Doncaster, tends to. She was second in a decent race two starts ago, ran badly at Musselburgh last time. But back here on decent ground, I think she's got a shot. So, you know, I'm not gonna go smashing into Lady Buttons. I probably won't lay her, but I might have a couple of quid on Irish Way.
Okay, I suspect the 3:15 will grab the lads' attention a little harder. It's the Skybet Handicap Chase over 3 miles. Really good race this. Niall, a show of betting and then your selection, please.
Yeah, again, we're four placed in this race. I think there's 11 runners, so another good offer here. Our betting, Dingo Dollars are 9-4 favourites. Warrior's Tale is 5-1. 007 is 5-1. Art Moresque, 8-1. Go Conquer, 8-1. Willy Boy, 10-1. And 12-1 Bar. Dingo Dollar is a very obvious one here, and he'll probably win if he runs, but I'm not 100% sure he's going to. The one I like and the one I think is the value bet is Willy Boy for Charlie Longston. There aren't many in here that look really well handicapped, and he's one of the least exposed in the field for me, having his first try over the trip, and he's open to improvement over it. He bolted up last time in first-time cheek pieces, winning by 9 lengths in the bridle, and has deservedly gone up £9 for that. That was only his third start for Longston, so there's a good chance there's more to come. And the fact he's won a point-to-point over 3 miles would bode well for his stamina holding out. As Graham would put, there are a few solid options in here, like 007.
And don't mention solid options, right?
the infamous Go Conquer. So neither are hiding anything from the handicapper. It's Willy Boy for me. He looks a good each way bet, 12-1.
Okay, Kills, I love on a Saturday when they're doing these extra places, just having a nice each way multiple. Because, you know, you can just get a few scraping into the places, yeah, can't you? You know, yeah, you're watching
you can
Sue's
get great
fifth,
value. I mean, I have backed money, horses. I have backed horses that I know can't win, but just six places. I just got to, you know, the price for the place is just too big to resist.
Mm.
Like, you know, I mean, there was one. In fact, a horse that's in here, Federici. I backed him at Aintree last time. He couldn't possibly win, but he just couldn't be out of the first seven. And I think his bookmakers were off at seven places, and he was 25-1. It was bonkers. Like, you know, so yeah. Now this race is all around Dingo Dollar, who was third in the Ladbrokes Trophy, and he had virtually everything under the cosh turning for home. Whether he quite stayed or whether he just went too hard, I don't know. But anything that raced up with him was well beaten. And you know, if he reproduces that form, then he's got to go very, very close. But you know, for the same reasons, I've got to have an each way bet on something else because, you know, I don't get that interested in backing 2-1 shots anyway. And you look at these and you can put a line through a lot of them or pick holes in them. Warrior's Tale was second in the race last year, only just beat, but he's now on a career high mark, having won the Grand Sefton at Aintree last time, and he definitely wants softer ground. Art Moresque travels like a dream, doesn't find anything, rarely looks like getting home over 3 mile. Same sort of thing for Go Conquer, although he has won at the distance. But, you know, Doncaster's long straight tends to find out the non-stayers, and both of them are questionable in my book. 007 won first time out, but usually does win first time out and then doesn't go on from it. And it comes back to the old, I go back down to the old boy on tour, who's he was third in the Veterans Chase final at Sandown last time. Now, okay, he was beaten a fair way, but the two horses who finished in front of him, Hublon, Desobo and Theatre Guide, they were well over a stone better than him at their best, and they were all running off similar marks. So, you know, if they bounce back to themselves, he couldn't beat them. But he's now, you know, he's now dropped to a mark of 133, which is lower than for his last win. I mean, if this race was at Aintree, I'd be absolutely smashing him because he loves that track. But at least it's left-handed and flat. And the pace Dingo Dollars likes to set is going to suit him as well. So each way on tour, he will definitely be in
he'll
the first five.
He'll be out the back for a long time, won't he? And then just coming through later.
He'll definitely be
on
in the first four.
Graham, what's your view of this race?
In a way, I'm kind of glad you come to me last. One of the better bets of the day runs in this, but I thought it was between Willie Boy and On Tour, and both lads have already tipped them, you know, and beaten me to it.
Well, when we go to DJ, when he echoes what the lads, he's like, oh, bloody hell, it's not good, I was going to tip that, they think I'm copying him now and all that. That was a terrible DJ impression, sorry, mate.
But the one of the two that I fell down on as one of the better bets of the day was Willie Boy.
Okay.
Who Niall, I think, tipped. And, I mean, I thought he was tanking along in one of the hotter races of the season behind Baron Alco. And he was actually the one that caused all that carnage and took a bad fall. And his jumping has been his undoing a little bit over fences. But he hadn't been with Charlie Longson all that long. And he slapped a pair of cheek pieces on him last time and rode him positively. And you saw a completely different performance. I mean, the horse jumped a lot better, whether it was the change of tactics, whether it was the... probably the headgear, whatever it was, it worked, and it was a massively improved performance from Willie Boy. Unproven at the trip, obviously, but he doesn't pull. You know, he settles quite nicely, and he's already won a point to point, as Niall said. If there's an improver in the race, and obviously we all know Dingo Dollar is an improver, but I mean, we're not going to be backing Dingo Dollar in this, are we, at 9-4? I mean, it's a terrible price, isn't it? Well, it's an absolutely awful price if you ask me at 9-4. I mean, it is an improving horse, but we don't know if he's going to light the ground. And it was well beaten in that race at Newbury. I know it ran really well, but it was well beaten. So I would much rather back Willie Boy at, 12-1 than the favourite at 9-4.
All right, then. I've just discovered, actually, by trying to do DJ, that I'd do quite a good Barry McGuigan. Right, then, let's see what else we've got on Saturday. We've got the rest of the Cheltenham card. And I know, Kills, you're keen on some of the shoulder races there. We've got Doncaster, Fairy House, Uttoxeter, and for all-weather fans, Chelmsford and Lingfield. Kills, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I do like the shoulder races. I don't know whether to take on Adj Jali in the first race, the juvenile hurdle trial at 12:40. But Alan King seems to think a lot of our power, and just the defeat that he's got to his name was racing right-handed and he went out to the left, and he's won very easily both times going left-handed, so I might have a couple of quid on him. They do, you know, one of the most interesting races of the day for Cheltenham pointers as well is the 1:15, the novices handicap chase. Now, over the last 10 years, this has produced a winner of three of the last five winners of the novice handicap chase at the festival ran in this race. Obviously, Mr. Whitaker did the double last year. It's also produced a winner of the Ultima, a winner of a 4 mile national hunt chase as well, like, you know, and one other chase, can't remember what one that was, but you know, and that's in the last 10 years. So it's a race to look at. And for me, Kildisar, I'm slightly concerned that he has no worthwhile form running left-handed, but for me, he's the one horse that could blow him away, because I can see him being a JLT horse rather than a handicapper. He's running off 141, just edged out Activial. I mean, okay, he was getting £10 from Activial, but Activial was a good horse, and that was only his second start over fences against an experienced horse, and I thought he did it really well. Afterwards, Ben Pauling said he can definitely strip fitter than he was again for his third start of the season, so I think he'll take the world a beating. And we go on to the last race, the
4:10.
The 4:10, yeah. Dan Skelton got a horse nicely handicapped in Flash to Steel, put him in a handicap last time, just improved out of all recognition, up £5, but he's going to be much better than that. And lovely weight, 10 stone 5, Flash to Steel in the 4:10.
Okay, G Rod, how many horses feature in your roundup?
Yeah, I got loads as well, all different to Kills in the same races. Oh, so,
okay, cool. Sorry, G-Rod. Hang on a sec, G-Rod, are you sure you know which race is which meeting, which day it is? Because we sometimes have problems there, don't
luckily,
we? While Kills
luckily,
is giving us his other one, you make
I'll
sure
I'll work
you're,
it out.
You're
yeah.
I've got to find it. It's at Uttoxeter.
Right, okay. Is it soft at
you
Uttoxeter?
Sound like me. No,
3:25.
Right.
There is a horse called the King's Baby, who I was at... I was at Sandown on Tingle Creek Day, and it was smashed off the boards. First run for Harry Whittington, and made the run and jumped really, really well. And you thought, this is a decent little horse, this. And then it made a mistake at the third last and then stopped as if shot. Comes back after a 7-week break, having had a wind operation. Now, just keep an eye on that. I'd imagine it won't be among the favourites to start the day, but it might get punted again, because it really was heavily backed.
Excellent.
So keep an eye on that.
Righto, G-Rod, away you go.
Yeah, in the first, the juvenile hurdle. I think it's really interesting that Joseph O'Brien's bringing two over. He's obviously won the Triumph before with that horse Ivanovich Gorbatov a couple of years ago. I just wonder if one of them's his Triumph horse, and maybe one is the juvenile handicap hurdle horse. I don't know, obviously, I'm guessing, but the one of the two that I think might be the Triumph horse is Fakir Duderi, who was very impressive when winning at Cork last time, beat a quite highly regarded horse of Woody Mullins. I can't believe this horse is a double figure price. It could be absolutely anything. I'll definitely be backing him.
No, I backed the Joseph O'Brien horse that he didn't enter in the race.
Right, there you go.
He had three in it.
Who'd have your luck?
There's a really interesting runner in the 115, as Keel says, the time form novice handicap chase. That horse won for the Road Tom. I mean, if you go back a few years, this horse beat Layla and Kilbrick and Storm in a novice hurdle at Exeter. That is obviously absolutely top class form. I know he's always been really highly regarded. He won a bumper at Kempton, must have been during one of the cold snaps. Then he ran well at Cheltenham in a handicap hurdle there. Now, I've had him in my tracker all season as a horse that's going to do really well over fences, and he has run appallingly on all three starts. I mean, but let's just say he's been given some interesting rides. I mean, he has been out the back.
What do you mean?
He's been out the back every single time. He's been less than fluent, and he's been given an awful lot to do on a couple of occasions. Certainly at Hereford, when I think there was a horse, one of the favourites fell and he ended up behind it. And then there was last time out Plumpton when he finished last. As a result, he's dropped massively in the weight, so he's down to 126. Now, if this horse retains ability, he's a Cheltenham Festival horse. Now, if he's going to run at the Cheltenham Festival, he will have to definitely win this race to get any chance. He's got 126. Well, if he wins easily, yeah, I mean, he could easily get up £9 or £10 and have a chance of getting in. I think he's a really interesting horse, one for the Road Tom. And then we're into the races we've done, aren't we? I won't mention the one that I fancy in the last because it's my best bet of the day.
Okay, well, don't do that then. Anything else at the away meetings, or are you just sticking with Cheltenham, G-Rod?
No. I mean, there's also... No.
Niall, try and match G-Rod's fluency as you give us your other Saturday bets.
Yeah, so a lot of mine are at Cheltenham as well. In the 410, there's one in here that looks really well handicapped to me. It's Benny's Bridge for Fergal O'Brien. It's his first handicap and he gets in off a mark of 120, just carrying 10 stone. Now, I thought he was a certainty on Boxing Day at Market Risen, where he was sent off odds on, but he's beaten at the fourth that day. He just never really settled, and I think the ground might have been against him as well. If you go back and watch his run at Chepstow, a few starts ago in a decent race where he got just a really strange ride, you'd be certain he's well handicapped off this mark. I think we're currently 13-2, but he definitely looks a bet to me. In the 115, Highway 101 could possibly be a bet for Chris Gordon here. He's stepping up to 2.5 miles. I think it's something he's been crying out for, given the way he tends to shape over 2 miles. He jumps well, and this is a much easier race than taking on the likes of Lawler and Dynamite Dollars, which he's been doing. In the 350, Doncaster, there's a horse I've been following called Baby Taggle, who I think is really well treated off a mark of 95. And funnily enough, Connections actually entered him in the 4-miler at Cheltenham. So if he's to run in that, he'd probably want to be winning handicaps off this type of mark pretty soon. If you go back to his time in Ireland, I think he was training with David Harry Kelly. He finished third in a maiden hurdle, splitting Aaron Ladd and Without Limits, who Aaron Ladd is rated 142 and Without Limits is rated 128. So it definitely would make him look well handicapped. He's trained by Di Williams too, so I think he'd be a decent price tomorrow. And in the 250 Toxer, Point of Principle has run in two very competitive handicaps at Chepstow and Cheltenham this year so far. And this looks a much easier opportunity, and I think he'll go really well.
Lovely. Thank you, chaps. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Right, G-Rod, you've been tantalising us with the promise of a really juicy, strong nap. So what is it?
Yeah, I don't believe in certainties, you know, per se, but I do really fancy Matt Quessard in the 410 at Cheltenham. Chris Gordon won this race last year with Remeluk, who looks a sort of similar type. I mean, quite a free-going front runner. And Harry Reid rode that. Harry Reid is back on the Macquisard here. It's only had two runs for Chris Gordon. First time ran on the flat, Kempton, ran nicely in second. And then last time out, again, was given a nice aggressive ride around Kempton. Turned home nicely clear. Got run down over the last couple of hurdles. But I think that was quite a smart race. The second, Unison, came up and bolted up at Taunton next time. And I'm sure Macquisard's just going to improve as he's, the longer he's with Chris Gordon. Now, Chris Gordon generally comes to form at this time of year, and he has got a 22% strike rate in the last fortnight, so he's doing so again. I really fancy Macquisard in that race, the 4.10 at Cheltenham.
I'm seeing 10-1 with Paddy Power. Does that float your boat?
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of about what I was hoping for, a double figure price.
Great stuff. Niall, what's your nap?
It happens to be in the same race, the 4.10 Cheltenham, Benny's Bridge. Can I give a next best just because?
Yeah, of course you can.
I'll give Baby Taggle in the 3.50 Doncaster.
Baby Taggle, 3.50 Doncaster and Kiehl's.
Yeah, I'm just going to play it safe and Black Op will win the Cleve, 3 o'clock.
And then go on and win the Stayers.
Yeah, hopefully.
Lovely stuff. Let's do Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. Looking ahead to Sunday's racing, we've got Nason Ireland and we've got Sedgefield and Fontwell. So let's see what the lads have sussed out. And we'll start with Kiehl's.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to take a chance on one at Sedgefield in the 3.40. There's a very obvious favourite, Ackle Road Boy, who bolted up with Kelso last time and is only £6 higher. It's probably fairly well treated on that. But I sort of half like the look of the top weight, Solid Strike. Now, he's only run once this season and he was beating a fairway here last time, but over a trip that was miles too short. He's up almost a mile now. He's got Danny McMenamin on him, claiming 7. Now, he's a good little claiming jockey, he is. And the horse is an 11-year-old now, but he's become well handicapped. So I'd take a chance because he'd be a price. And then if we go down to Fontwell.
Have you been to Fontwell?
I've never been to Fontwell. I cannot believe I've never been to Fontwell because it literally take me about 3/4 without a drive at the most.
It's really good. You must go.
But again, there's another one who might have class edge in the 3.30, Sartorial Elegance. Didn't run that well last time, but third at Plumpton the time before. Wasn't that bad when he was fav. He drops down into a class 5, gets in. Into a band that he's just not used to running in. He might just be different class to him. Got Harry Cobden on for Colin Tizard, Sartorial Elegance.
G-Rod, what have you sussed for us for Sunday?
Yeah, funnily enough, I had one horse for Sedgefield and it's in the 3.40 at Sedgefield. It's the top weight Solid Strike. mainly because, as Kiehl says, Ackle Road Boy is likely to be favourite here, but if you go back in the form, Solid Strike thrashed Ackle Road Boy by 9 lengths when he finished third a few starts ago, and he was giving him a stone that day. Solid Strike's only got to give £2 to Ackle Road Boy. He stayed on really well at Carlisle a couple of starts ago, 3 mile, 2.5 furlongs on heavy ground, so we know that all he does really is stay. And his reappearance in December last month, that was over in adequate distance. So I think it was over 2.3 mile or 2.4 mile. He wouldn't have been suited by the trip. He goes back up in distance here. I think he'll just outstay him. Solid Strike.
Solid Strike, the solid option, eh?
He is the solid option.
Lovely. What have you got for us, Niall? I think you're all round the place, aren't you? One at each.
Yeah, the 1.30 Fontwell. It's a horse of Nicky Henderson's called Dream de Grand Val. I think Kiehl's didn't mention this one, did he? Not that he's owned out for a minute, but... No, okay, sorry. I think it could be interesting here, having shown plenty of promise on a stable debut behind Red Hot Chili at Cheltenham, finishing sixth in a race that's worked out pretty well. I think the likes of Rock Point and Norman ran in the race. He was very keen that day, and if they can get him to settle, I think he'll take a massive amount of beating off a mark of 125. The 2.40 Sedgefield, Ryan Ellison sponsors this race and runs Lucky Robin, who is very unexposed, having his first start over fences, and I'd imagine he's been targeted here. Ellison has been quietly going really well over the last few weeks with a 30% strike rate and an 80% run to form. So this is one that could be a decent price as it's not the weakest race. I think he's sure to go well. And in the 2.20 Nace, Bally Ward, I'd imagine he'll be favoured, but he looked very interesting here. He reappeared this year and ran a really good race on Chase debut behind Shady Operator. Last season he was obviously fourth in the Albert Bartlett when probably given a lot to do turning for home. So yeah, I think he'll take a massive amount of beating in that race.
Okay, I do want to flag up a runner in that one. It's Champagne Classic, trained by Gordon Elliott for Gigginstown. Won the 2017 Martin Pipe at Cheltenham and then went to Punchestown and won the Grade 1 over 3 miles, beating Penn Hill, Presenting Percy, Monoly and others. It's his first run since, so he's well worth keeping an eye on there for sure. Right then, weekend plans. Niall, what are you up to?
I've been off for the last couple of weeks, so I'm only back in, so they put me in all weekend, unfortunately, so no real plans.
Oh, my goodness.
But look.
Keels, what, you're going to Cheltenham, aren't
you? Yeah, I'm driving down to Cheltenham, yeah. And it should be good fun, it should be a good day's racing.
Excellent.
I enjoy it.
What are you expecting? It's going to be rainy, isn't it? So yeah, you're going to be out and about, rain, or are you going to plot up somewhere?
I'm going to plot up somewhere.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you mind driving to the races and not having a drink?
Well, it's funny, the first time I've ever done it for ages.
Well, you went to Warwick.
A couple of weeks ago
to Warwick,
and I did enjoy that, yeah, so it won't be, yeah, it won't be a problem.
Be all right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
And Sunday?
Sunday, I don't know, I'm going to get my head in the form book. I have to find something to tip anti-post for Cheltenham.
Okay. All right, and G-Rod?
Yeah, I'm live tipster on Saturday.
Oh, you had a big winner as a live tipster yesterday, didn't you?
On Tuesday.
Tuesday, you nailed a big one, didn't you?
Yeah, Lara Trot.
Excellent.
Yeah, been beaten 98 lengths that had in the last
And if
year.
Anyone wants to email in and ask you about a particular runner or just keep you company, then what's the address?
I think it is racedaylive@racingpost.com.
Great. So if you want to email G-Rod tomorrow, do that. G-Rod, every day we do the live tips. You go onto the Racing Post app and click on live, and it's either Keels or G-Rod or Pietro or sometimes Birchie. And if any great tips make themselves apparent through market moves or going changes, they will put them up, and they're well worth following. So your live tips to Saturday, then what's Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday I will be point-to-pointing, the second time this season that I've been. I went a couple of weeks ago, but I can't remember where it was. It was a really, really nice day, and then suddenly, like, the wind came up.
It was like 5 years ago, and you can't remember. But
you don't know where you went 2 weeks ago. Roughly, where was it? Which county?
Fairness, I don't know where I went last night.
No,
it was past Newmarket, and it was up sort of in Suffolk somewhere.
Mark's Tay. There's one there, isn't there?
No, yeah, there's one at Mark's Tay. Yeah, but it wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
It was a place I'd never been before, and it was really nice.
And so where are you going
this
time?
Go.
Yeah, I must check it out. Where's Sunday's venue? Do you know it's
Higham. Higham. So up, out towards Colchester. Which
What's that, like 20 quid for the family? And
it's not a million miles from me. I think it's actually £15 on the gate per person.
Per person?
Yeah. But it'll be well worth it.
Well, what about the kids? Kids are free,
No, the kids are free, yeah. But, I'm sure it'll be well worth it. It's always a good day.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully the weather holds out. Although the great thing about going point to point, of course, is that it usually blows a gale and is really windy and wet and cold. You know, but that's kind of all part of the fun. You know, you can wear your wellies.
Yeah, that's good, isn't
Sounds
it?
Sounds great, doesn't it?
Have you got Paddington wellies? Have you? Or what have you got? Flash ones or the bog standard?
I actually haven't got any. No, but I need to get some. The amount of times that I go wearing.
I haven't got any.
No, but I should get some because I do go quite regularly.
Okay. You know? Yeah, you should. Definitely. Right then, chaps, before we go, I want a fresh Cheltenham Festival tip from each of you. I think it would be best if G-Rod went third, given that about half an hour ago he didn't even know it was on. We'll start with you, Niall.
Yeah, I have two.
Go on then, mate.
Getaway Trump is one I really fancy for the Supreme. Now, he's obviously going to run in the Betfair Hurdle, which I think he's going to win. And if he wins that, I think he'd be favourite. So I think he's 16-1 at the moment. I love the way he travels in the Challow. I think 2 miles around Cheltenham would be right up the street. And in the JLT, Lost in Translation. Now, he's 6-1 favourite, but it's his only entry at the festival. And we did the entries for the JLT there during the week. That race is going to cut up so badly. It's really hard to even pick runners that are definitely going to run. So it's 6-1. I can only see him shortening up, and I think he's a really solid favourite.
Thank
you.
So it's
them two for me.
Love those two. Keels?
I hope he's wrong, because I'm all over Al Dancer for the Supreme, and I've backed him for the Betfair Hurdle as well, and I think he'll be favourite when he wins the Betfair Hurdle.
Okay.
So that'd be one for me, is Al Dancer. I was having a look at the handicaps, and I can't remember the name of the bloody horse I was thinking of. I can't remember it. Sorry, got pissed last night. But no, so it's Al Dancer for me. I'll come better prepared next week.
You don't get this on ITV Racing. Sorry, I got pissed last night. I can't remember. See me next week. And Something else you don't get on ITV is G-Rod, and he's about to show why. What have you got for us, mate?
Well, I'd definitely be back in Champ, wherever that runs, but I mean, that's going to be short, isn't it? But I mean, that looks like an absolute machine to me. I think Layla is will win the Arkle.
Lawler.
Or Lawler, whatever.
It's definitely Lawler.
It's definitely Lawler.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm saying Layla.
Yeah, so as long as the ground's good, you know. Although,
go straight there now.
Go straight there, go straight even better, because I thought, you know, all its best form is fresh.
Okay.
Or a lot of it anyway. And what's the other one? Oh, Kenboy in the Gold Cup.
Both fancy Kenboy.
Yeah, I do fancy Kenboy.
Yeah.
I think people are reading too much into that race not being a stamina test last time. And the fact is that he's now won 4 races on the spin. He's won 3 mile in every ground at Limerick. He's thrashed all the best horses in Ireland easily. And he's just a 7-year-old improver and a stayer with a few gears.
Has he done your work for you there, or have you got anything to add, G-Rod?
No, spot on, yeah. I was wildly impressed with the Kenboy at Leopardstown. Yeah.
If he wins the Gold Cup, I'm going to be even more sick, because I backed him for the Ladbrokes Trophy and he missed the bloody boat, didn't he?
Story.
Go on, then.
I went to the Irish Grand National last year and I backed Kenboy for the Irish Grand National at 33-1, and he was brought down in a melee in the first fence. There was a huge melee. About 7 of them came down, and Kenboy, I think, got brought down. Now, he must have been running off about 40 odd pound less than he was rated.
That's so unlucky, G-Rod. Yeah,
I was gutted.
You'll get it all back.
Well, I'm gutted now. I wasn't gutted at the time. At the time, I just thought, I probably wouldn't have won anyway.
Yeah, there you go. But now you're gutted. Okay, right then, coming up next week, we've got Maddie on Monday. Looking back at the weekend and looking ahead to next weekend, when we've got Sandown, among others, I think Wincanton as well. On Tuesday, we've got another anti-post postcast. I think we're looking at the Ryanair, the Ballymore and the Supreme. And then we're fitting in even more next week, because we've got the Six Nations, we've got the Super Bowl, we've got golf, we've got football. And if you can't make any of them, we'd love you to join us again next Friday for another Racing Post Weekend Postcast.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.